堂听 class.com。
Unit 16, Part 1. Paul loves his wife Rita and children very much, and they love him. However, it's not easy to live with Paul. He gets angry quickly, and he doesn't smile much. He's quiet and very serious. Paul doesn't have many friends. Rita is completely different. She's always smiling and kidding. She likes to tell jokes and make people laugh. She's never quiet for long, and she rarely gets angry. She has many friends. Paul and Rita are happy, but they often fight about the children. Rita thinks Paul is too strict with them. He never hits them, but he shouts at them a lot. He forgets that they're only children, and he's always correcting them. Eddie and Mary are afraid of their father. When they want something, they go to their mother. Paul thinks Rita is too easy with the children. He says she lets them do anything they want, but that's not true. She corrects them when it's necessary, and they listen to her. She doesn't shout at her children, but they obey her. She's very kind and patient.
Question 1. Why is it not easy to live with Paul? Question 2. What does Rita like to do? Question 3. Whom do Paul and Rita often fight about? Question 4. Why does Rita think Paul is too strict with the children? Question 5. When does Rita correct the children?
Part 2. 1. Paul has many friends. 2. Paul and Rita are not happy because they are completely different. 3. The children are afraid of Paul because he's too strict with them. 4. Rita is very patient with the children.
Unit 17, Part 1. Washington, D.C. became the capital of the United States in 1800. D.C. stands for District of Columbia, the only area in the United States which is not a part of one of the states. George Washington, the first American president, worked hard to see the capital city built. He chose a site on the banks of the Potomac River, but George Washington never lived in that city that bears his name. John Adams was the first tenant of the White House, which has been the house of all American presidents ever since. Government is Washington's main business. Here, Congress meets to make the laws. Here, the highest court in the U.S., that is, the Supreme Court, convenes. One of every three people in Washington works for the U.S. government. There is plenty of work to be done, too. Here in Washington are the busy main offices of the government's many departments.
Question 1. What does D.C. stand for? Question 2. Which state does Washington, D.C. belong to? Question 3. Who first lived in the White House? Question 4. Who makes the laws in the United States? Question 5. What percentage of people in Washington, D.C. work for the government?
Part 2. 1. Washington, D.C. became the capital of the United States in 1800. 2. George Washington, the first American president, once lived in the city that bears his name.
Unit 18. Part 1. This is the first year that Nancy and Harry are going on vacation without any of their children. Their son is away at college this summer, and their two daughters are married. They feel a little lonely without the children, but it's nice, too. They don't have to worry about where the children are or what they are doing. Both Harry and Nancy are good cooks. Nancy cooks one night, and Harry cooks the next. After they do the dishes, they watch TV or play cards with the couple next door. Sometimes they drive to town to see a movie. They usually stay up at night and sleep late in the morning. Nancy and Harry also like to go for long walks together. There's a state park a few miles from their house. They drive to the park and walk in the woods. The air there is fresh, and the trees are pretty. It's good to be away from the heat and noise of Miami and to be able to forget the real estate office and the carpenter shop.
Question 1. How do Nancy and Harry feel without their children? Question 2. What do Nancy and Harry do after they do the dishes? Question 3. Why do they drive to town sometimes? Question 4. How far is a state park away from their house? Question 5. How do they go to the park?
Part 2. 1. This year, Nancy and Harry are going on vacation with the children. 2. Nancy cooks well, so does Harry. 3. They usually go to bed early and get up early. 4. They run a real estate office and carpenter shop.
Unit 19, Part 1. At 3 a.m. on August the 8th, Jack Mills was sitting at the controls of the mail train from Glasgow to London. The train was made up of 13 coaches. At the end of the train, 71 mailmen sat sorting the mail. Inside the second coach, there were only 5 mailmen and 128 bags full of 5-pound notes. This train had run more than 100 years without being robbed. At 3:03, Mills and his helper, David Whitby, saw a yellow warning light. They slowed the train and then stopped. Whitby went to the telephone beside the track. It was out of order. Then he saw a man creeping between the second and third coaches. Before Whitby could give a warning, he was knocked down by 2 men. Mills was ordered to drive the train to a bridge that crossed the road. The last 10 coaches with all the mailmen had been disconnected by the robbers. At the bridge, the bags of money were unloaded from the train and thrown into waiting trucks. One of the robbers, who obviously knew the schedules of all the trains, kept looking at his watch. At 3:45, he said, "That will have to be enough." The robbers escaped with more than £2,500,000.
Question 1. Where did the story take place? Question 2. What was the second coach of the train carrying? Question 3. What was Jack Mills doing when the train was robbed? Question 4. Why did Jack Mills stop the train? Question 5. What did the robbers do with the bags of money?
Part 2. 1. This train had run more than 200 years without being robbed. 2. The robbers knocked down Jack's helper, David, before he could give a warning. 3. The robbers knew the schedules of all the trains. 4. The last 10 coaches with all the mailmen had been disconnected by the robbers. 5. The robbers escaped with more than £2,500,000.
Unit 20, Part 1. The average American will move 13 times in his lifetime, and most of those moves will take him to another city, a new job, new friends, sometimes a whole new lifestyle. Moving offers the opportunity to make personal changes as well as to change the place where you live and work. For example, you might want to change the way you dress, the kinds of friends you have, or what you do for entertainment. When no one knows you, you can make these changes in yourself and your lifestyle more easily because your old friends aren't watching you and you don't have the pressure of your former coworkers. Moving offers opportunities, but, of course, it can also cause problems. It takes time to adjust to change, and you might feel lonely and unhappy at first. Moving can also cause problems within the family. If both husband and wife work, probably only one of them will benefit professionally from the move. The other may feel angry and resentful. Children may also resent having to leave their friends and school because their parents decided to move. In the end, moving will be easier if you can focus on the present. That is, don't waste time missing the life you left behind. Instead, start making a new life in your new city. And don't worry that you might have to move again in a couple of years. Think about where you are now and make the most of it.
Question 1. According to the passage, what can you do when you move? Question 2. Why can moving make it easier for you to make personal changes? Question 3. According to the passage, what problem might you have when you move? Question 4. What should you think about when you move?
Part 2. 1. The average American will move more than 10 times in his lifetime. 2. Husband or wife may feel angry if he or she can't benefit professionally from the move. 3. Children are always happy to move to a new city.
Unit 21, Part 1. My name is Christopher. My family came to America before I was born. In 2 weeks, I am going to be married, and my fiancée Samantha and I expect to be very happy. We do not plan to have a honeymoon because we want to spend 2 weeks setting up our own new business as real estate agents. My mother, who is very traditional, says that our plan is absurd. She thinks that we should just spend the 2 weeks on a holiday in the Caribbean. In her day, in the old country, young people didn't start businesses together. Instead, the man went out to work and the wife stayed home to raise a family. Another thing that bothers my parents is the fact that Samantha and I are going to be spending 7 days a week on our business until it is running smoothly. As my mother has pointed out to us, such a schedule will leave us little time for socializing or for a night on the town. A young couple should enjoy themselves and get to know each other under less hectic circumstances, my mother says. Actually, Samantha and I know each other pretty well. We are both dedicated to our goals, and neither of us minds giving up weekends for a while.
Question 1. Why will Christopher and Samantha not have a honeymoon? Question 2. Who says young people don't start businesses together? Question 3. Why does the fact that Samantha and Christopher are going to be spending 7 days a week on their business bother Christopher's parents? Question 4. What is Christopher's mother used to? Question 5. How do Samantha and Christopher feel about working 7 days a week?
Part 2. 1. Christopher's mother thinks that Christopher and Samantha should spend 2 weeks in the old country. 2. In the old days, the wife went out to work in order to support a family. 3. Christopher and Samantha are going to work every day on their business until it is running smoothly. 4. At present, Christopher and Samantha don't know each other very well.
Unit 22, Part 1. Robert recently attended a lecture on safety at a neighborhood center. The speaker was Detective Garcia of the New York Police Department. Here is what he said. The first thing you need to do is to get to know your neighbors. Don't be shy. Introduce yourself, especially to people who live in your building. We people who live in large cities often are reluctant to make friends, but it may save our lives later. So make sure that you know your neighbors and that they know you. Second, don't carry a lot of money with you. If you're a man, put your wallet in your front pocket. It's harder for a pickpocket to lift it out without your knowing. Women, get a purse with straps that you can slip over your shoulder and under your arm. Don't carry a small purse that a robber can grab from you easily. Third, if you are mugged, don't resist. I wish people would listen to me when I say that. A month ago, a 50-year-old man ended up in a hospital because he thought that he could beat a mugger in a fight. But if he hadn't tried to be a hero, that probably wouldn't have happened. Don't try to be a karate expert. Give the mugger what he wants. As soon as he leaves, call the police. Report any lost credit cards without delay. Finally, remember that there's safety in numbers. Try to avoid dark, deserted streets at night. Also, do not get on empty subway cars. If you're traveling at night, get on the car with the conductor or the motorman. Some New Yorkers like to say that the city is a very dangerous place. There is some danger, yes, but if you're careful and pay attention, you should do all right.
Question 1. Who gave the lecture on safety? Question 2. What is his first piece of advice on safety? Question 3. What is his second piece of advice? Question 4. What is his third piece of advice?
Part 2. 1. According to Detective Garcia, you should try to avoid dark, deserted streets at night. 2. It's safe for you to get on empty subway cars. 3. Detective Garcia suggests that you should give the mugger what he wants and call the police as soon as he leaves.
Unit 23, Part 1. Matthew lived in a big city, and his hair was always cut by the same hairdresser. Matthew went to him once a month. The hairdresser had a very small shop near Matthew's office, and he worked alone. But he always cut Matthew's hair exactly as Matthew liked it, and while he was doing it, the two men talked about football or cricket. But the hairdresser was an old man, and one day, when Matthew was sitting in his chair and his hair was being cut as usual, the old man said to him, "Matthew, I'm going to be 65 years old next month, so I'm going to retire. I'm going to sell my shop to a young man who wants to be a hairdresser. The shop's being paid for by the young man's father." Matthew was very sad to hear this, because he enjoyed talking to the old man, and he was also worried that his hair would not be cut as well by the new young man as it had been for so many years by his old friend. He went to the shop again the next month, and the new man was there. He cut Matthew's hair, but he did it very badly. The next month, Matthew went into the shop again. The young man asked him how he would like his hair cut, and Matthew answered, "Please cut it very short on the right, but leave it as it is on the left. It must cover my ear. On top, cut all the hair away in the middle, but leave a piece at the front which can hang down to my chin." The young man was very surprised when he heard this. "But sir," he said, "I can't cut your hair like that." "Why not?" Matthew asked. "That's how you cut it last time."
Question 1. How often did Matthew go to the old hairdresser? Question 2. Whom did the old hairdresser work with? Question 3. Why was the old hairdresser going to sell his shop? Question 4. How did the new hairdresser cut Matthew's hair? Question 5. Why did Matthew ask the new hairdresser to cut his hair very badly the second time?
Part 2. 1. Matthew and the old hairdresser had become friends. 2. A young man paid for the old hairdresser's shop. 3. When Matthew learnt that the old hairdresser had sold his shop, he felt worried because he wouldn't see the old man very often. 4. Matthew liked the hair the new hairdresser cut for him, so he went to the shop again.
Unit 24. Part 1. Mother's Day is celebrated on the second Sunday in May. On this occasion, Mother usually receives greeting cards and gifts from her husband and children. For most mothers, the rarest and best gift is a day of rest. Often, families honor Mother by taking her out for dinner. In some households, the husband and children take over meal preparations so that Mom can spend a whole day away from the kitchen. Serving her breakfast in bed is another family ritual. Later in the day, parents may take their children to visit their grandparents. Flowers are an important part of the holiday. Mothers are often given corsages for the occasion, particularly if they are elderly. The idea of setting aside a special day to honor mothers did not originate in the United States. In England, Mothering Sunday, celebrated during Lent, was once traditional. The Yugoslavs and many other peoples have long observed a holiday for mothers. In the United States, Mother's Day had been a national tradition since 1915. Father's Day is celebrated throughout the United States and Canada on the third Sunday in June. The holiday customs are similar to Mother's Day. Dad also receives greeting cards and gifts from his family and enjoys a day of leisure.
Question 1. When is Mother's Day celebrated? Question 2. How long has Mother's Day been a national tradition in the United States? Question 3. What does Mother usually receive on Mother's Day? Question 4. What gift is the rarest and best gift for most mothers? Question 5. When is Father's Day celebrated?
Part 2. 1. Some families honor mother by serving her breakfast in bed on Mother's Day. 2. Only elderly mothers are given corsages on Mother's Day.
Unit 25. Part 1. Last Sunday, Pat's neighborhood saw the worst thunderstorm in years. It came suddenly in the mid-afternoon and lasted for more than 3 hours. At about 2 o'clock, Pat was reading a copy of Reader's Digest in his room. The air was hot and still. For about 15 minutes, all was quiet. Then the sky grew dark all of a sudden. Within minutes, forks of lightning pierced the sky. This was followed by the boom, boom, boom of thunder. Very strong gusts of wind blew into his room. His precious notes, lying on his desk in the room, flew high into the air. He jumped up to catch them, but unluckily, a few sheets sailed out of the open window. As he ran out in pursuit of the notes, big drops of rain began to fall. Pat had hardly stepped back into the house when the rain began to fall in waves. He fought to close the windows. He did it, but was wet all over. He dried himself with a towel. Then he heard a very loud crashing sound from the back of the house. He ran out of the room to find out what it was. His mother and brothers had gathered noisily at the kitchen door. A coconut tree had torn through the roof of the kitchen. Part of its big trunk lay across the floor. Pots and pans were thrown all over the place. The stove was broken into pieces. It would take a lot of work to restore the kitchen to its original condition. However, they were thankful that no one was hurt by the falling tree.
Question 1. When did the thunderstorm come? Question 2. What was Pat doing in his room at the time? Question 3. How long did the storm last? Question 4. What happened to Pat's precious notes on his desk? Question 5. What happened to the kitchen of the house?
Part 2. 1. Pat found that it was not easy to close the windows when the strong gusts of wind blew into his room. 2. Pat got wet while trying to close the windows. 3. Only one of Pat's brothers was hurt by the falling tree.
Unit 26, Part 1. The United States has all kinds of lakes, large and small, but most of the fresh water in America is in 5 large lakes in the northeast and central U.S. These are the Great Lakes, Lake Huron, Lake Erie, Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Ontario. There is enough water here to cover the U.S. 10 feet deep. Travel in the Great Lakes area is easy because the lakes and many rivers are connected. Water transportation is quicker and cheaper than travel by land. For this reason, many industries such as steel and automobile factories were started around the Great Lakes about 100 years ago. But because of the many factories, the lakes and rivers have become filled with dangerous chemicals and oil. In 1969, the Cuyahoga River was so oily and dirty that it caught fire and burned for many hours. Now people are trying to clean up the lakes and rivers. The water is becoming cleaner and cleaner, and there are more fish. But there are still chemicals which are dangerous to human health.
Question 1. Where are the 5 lakes discussed in this passage in the U.S.? Question 2. Why is it easy to travel in the Great Lakes area? Question 3. When were many industries around the Great Lakes started? Question 4. Why did the Cuyahoga River catch fire? Question 5. What are people trying to do?
Part 2. 1. All the fresh water in America is in the Great Lakes. 2. Because of easy transportation in the Great Lakes area, many industries were started there. 3. The Great Lakes were polluted by the factories around them. 4. The water in the lakes is the same as before, and there are still chemicals in them.
Unit 27, Part 1. Charlie Yates was 17 years old, and although he had left school, he preferred living in the comfort and convenience of his parents' home to living alone. He said that he was trying to find a job, but there never seemed to be one that he thought good enough for him. His father wanted him to leave home and earn some money, but his mother loved Charlie very much and wanted him to stay, so she never interfered with what he might want to do. Charlie did not wash his hair very often. He shaved once a week, and he could not bear wearing shoes, so his feet were nearly always dirty. His father did not see him very frequently, because he worked quite a distance from home and was in the habit of leaving the house early, before Charlie got up. And when he got home in the evenings, Charlie was usually somewhere else, amusing himself with a few of his friends or playing the drums in a band. Also, Charlie's father often had to go abroad on business.
Question 1. Whom did Charlie live with? Question 2. What job did Charlie do? Question 3. What was Charlie's parents' attitude to his idleness? Question 4. How often did Charlie shave? Question 5. Why did Charlie not usually see his father in the morning?
Part 2. 1. Charlie was 17 years old and was still in school. 2. Charlie's feet were nearly always dirty because he never washed them. 3. Charlie's father went to work very early in the morning. 4. Charlie's father often went abroad for sightseeing.
Unit 28. Part 1. But Mr. Yates sometimes saw his son at weekends, and then he was always angry with him. He used to say to him, "Why ever don't you shave every day? Whoever would give you a job with your dirty hair? Wherever are your shoes?" and so on. "But father," Charlie always said, "I don't care about those things. All my friends are like me nowadays, and if I changed, I wouldn't be popular with them anymore." One Saturday morning, while Charlie and his father were having their usual argument, his father said to him, "You should be ashamed to live like that. I was brought up quite differently. When I was 17, my father never allowed me to do any of the things that you do all the time. I was forbidden to stay out till 3 o'clock in the morning and come down to breakfast at 10, and walk about the house with dirty feet, and grow a beard, and wear gold chains, and behave like a..." He went on and on until Charlie said kindly, "Poor father. My grandfather died before I was born, so I never met him. But he must have been a terrible old gentleman." "Not at all," Mr. Yates objected angrily. "For your information, I had a much nicer father than you'll ever have."
Question 1. When did Mr. Yates sometimes see Charlie? Question 2. How was Mr. Yates when he met Charlie? Question 3. Why didn't Charlie want to change his habits? Question 4. What was Charlie's father not allowed to do when he was 17? Question 5. When did Charlie's grandfather die?
Part 2. 1. Charlie often argued with his father when they met. 2. All Charlie's friends were the same as he. 3. Charlie's father got up very early, but he never shaved when he was 17. 4. Charlie's grandfather was a terrible man.